You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome into Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood, sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We're here till noon. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. We'll also interact with you on Twitter throughout the show. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jonathan, we will talk with Nick Friedell on the NBA and the Golden State Warriors. Can they turn it on? Can they just flip the switch? It's year five of this championship run. Can Golden State just get past all the issues of the regular season and just say, all right, we'll just go out there and be the best team throughout the playoffs. We don't have to worry about anyone. We don't have to worry about the Rockets or anyone else in the West.
The only team that can beat the Warriors are the Warriors. That's the only team that can beat them right now. Even though you take a look at some of these teams in the Eastern Conference, they're up and coming. You see Denver. Denver's kind of light years away from Golden State. But you understand what the NBA is. The NBA is about dynasties. It's about legacies. Actually, the whole league is built around the Celtics and Lakers when you think about it. But the Bulls had their run. Detroit had their run. Lakers, Celtics. Everyone has their run, right? So the Golden State's going through their run. Now, the most intriguing thing to me is not to hate on the Warriors and their greatness, but who's next? Who's going to be that team to start their dynasty? That's more intriguing to me than anything else in the league.
Who's next and how do they morph? If Kevin Durant leaves, how do they morph into that next phase? And if, say, you bring back Klay and Draymond and you kind of maneuver with some cap space, like, is Golden State still the best team in the league even when they lose Kevin Durant this summer, like a lot of people assume will happen? So we'll talk Warriors, we'll talk NBA, big picture stuff with Nick Friedell coming up at about 10:20 here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood. Jonathan, tonight, the Chicago Bulls, they play the Clippers on the road in L.A. The game's at 9:30 this evening. And the Chicago Bulls, and I think something that is an interesting footnote to just kind of remember in the back of your head as we go through the end of this stretch run. You know, there's a lot of fans, and I'm one of them, that watched last night and saw Zion Williamson, and part of me was like, oh, we were a little too good this year. Like, you know, you see what Zion did last night after being out for five games and how great he was.
Right.
And I can't not think in my head, man, we missed on Luka. We missed on Trae Young. We missed on these stars from this year's class in the top five. And we're going to miss out on Zion. And I know we can go through the odds. I get it. Yeah, I know people are going to tweet at us, oh, they have a 12% chance. Yeah, I understand the draft odds, guys. But listen, if we were by far the worst team, that's still better than being fourth. Or fifth, no matter how it kind of wraps up. And the thing I want to bring to light and that we should kind of remember is don't let this end of the NBA season trick you into thinking this Bulls team is something that they really are not.
Right.
Because a lot of things happen at the end of an NBA season that maybe are not a good determination on what the bigger picture item is with your team. Guys score more points towards the end. There's worse defense down the stretch run. Guys are in huddles saying 3-2-1 Cancun. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are a lot of things that take place at the end of an NBA season that are not true of what the whole of the NBA season is all about, and especially what will take place in the playoffs.
Right.
So don't let this little nice 15 games where you're 7-8 and you have some decent stats fool you into thinking that this team, and you mentioned it yesterday, that this team is just all of a sudden going to take that next jump and become a really good team in the league.
Yeah, I heard what Adrian Wojnarowski said yesterday on ESPN.com about the Bulls and feels that they could be a playoff team. Look, I think that after 1-6, I think anything is possible because 7-8 could be Detroit. That could be. It all depends on what these teams do. But I just want to make sure it's very clear. When it comes to this Bulls team at 19-50, you can be excited about the core that you believe in. All right. So the thing that we have no idea of because of the amount of injuries that this team has had is we don't know what Dunn and LaVine and Markkanen look like for a full season because of injuries that they've had. Like, all teams have injuries. I get that. But for this Bulls team, they've been snake bitten. But when you look at this Bulls team for the future now, looking into next year, I know everyone's looking at the top five, top six pick that the Bulls could have. But I think that the Bulls pick actually, when you pair it all back and really look at it seriously, their pick is Otto Porter. And Otto Porter is going to be better than any player that is in the top three or top four in this draft as far as someone that can help you right away. I mean, Zion Williamson could be on the Knicks and be able to average 17, 18 points a game. He's not going anywhere. But the actual pick is actually Otto Porter. They made the deal because they want to upgrade the position. And so when you have now LaVine, Porter, Markkanen, and well, again, we'll see if Dunn's even part of that mix. The point is that when you got that core, at least you have something to go for. You got something to look for. But I'm looking at the team more so with its depth. You have three guys that you could believe in. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going anywhere.
Okay, so the Bulls are pushing forward. They're not tanking here down the stretch, and they're not resting players, even though they might they should, you know, especially if there's lingering knee issues with the Zach LaVine. So Zach LaVine, right knee issue.
Yep.
He's not going to rest down the stretch. He's going to continue playing. How smart is that going forward for this Bulls team? Is it because, as an organization, you still need to figure out what he is?
Well, he's also frustrated, too. I mean, you talk to the Tribune about this. LaVine has played just 71 games the last two seasons after tearing that ACL in February of 2017 with the Timberwolves. And so he thinks he's missed enough games that he just wants to be out there and just feel good about being on the floor.
Is that better, though, for the overall success of the franchise?
Where are you going this year anyway? So what difference does it make?
Well, right. So if you rest, if there is something wrong. Now, if he's healthy, play. But, you know, I looked it up the other day.
No, Chris, either way, what difference does it make? Because here's the thing. You're not in the Zion sweepstakes. You're not in the Morant sweepstakes. You're not in the R.J. Barrett. Those are the top three players that's going to be in this draft.
Yeah.
Now, somewhere along the line, if it's Cam Reddish or someone like that, there's someone that could help the Bulls. But ultimately, the way things have been going lately, really, it's about the core. These young guys, they'll get a chance to play at some point. But how do you know that this pick for the Bulls this year isn't Denzel Valentine? How do you know?
You don't know that. And I would answer your question with LaVine is he's played a lot of minutes this year, even though he's missed games throughout the last couple of seasons with injury.
Sure.
I looked it up the other day. I think on NBA.com, he's like 20th in the league in miles ran this season in game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing a lot of work. There's a lot of wear and tear on the body. If there's any lingering issue with the knee from what took place previously, that's why I would rest him. I get it that you're not really going to change winning more games, probably losing more games. And what we've seen in the last 15, they're kind of an average to below average team. Even though we get a lot of C Red Nation and a lot of people out there pounding their chest that this team is on the next level, on the up in the league. You know, here are some stats, Jonathan. So in the last 15 games, I want you to take a listen to these stats and let me know. I think they're good and bad, and let me know what they mean, okay?
All right.
Last 15 games in the league across the entire NBA, the Bulls are 10th in offensive rating.
All right.
Pretty good. They're 25th in defensive rating.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, so we all know that for a team to take it to the next level, you got to be better on defense, right?
That dog won't hunt defensively.
Right. 18th in pace.
That's not good enough.
13th in true shooting percentage. That's actually decent.
Not bad. Top 15.
They're 8th in points per game.
Top 10. Good.
They're 27th in three-point field goal attempts.
That's because, well, here's the reason why that is because as soon as Uncle Fester takes over as the head coach, okay, so now
Uncle Fester,
he wants to play four corners and take the air out of the ball.
Okay? Right. There's been a lot of publicity thrown his way as of late.
Who?
Boylen. Oh, Boylen. A lot of people are saying that he's doing a great job with this team. Great job.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
who said that?
So here's the stat, right?
Yeah.
So I told you 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
They're 27th. They're only averaging 26 attempts per game from three. Here's the stat that really jumps in my head to why this is not being coached properly.
Mm-hmm.
They're 12th in 3-point percentage in the league, shooting 36% in the last 15 games, which tells me y'all should be shooting more three-point shots.
When you shoot it at a high percentage, but you don't shoot it enough.
But you're not shooting! What are you doing? How is that a modern offense? How is he just coaching up this try-hard squad?
Because that is, you know what that is? I bet I could juxtapose that to a college team.
Yeah.
In that, look, we got to move the ball side to side. You know, don't take the first available shot. Make sure that you get the best shot. Not the first shot. Make sure you how many times have you heard that in college, right?
All the time.
What is he coaching, Utah? What is this?
The last stat I have for you for the last 15 games in the NBA across the entire NBA, they're 22nd in point differential at minus 42. No. So I know they're losing more than they're winning. There's some good offensive numbers there, but there's also some questionable numbers, and the defense being 25th in the last 15 games. We heard a lot about, and I talked about in February, their offense was ranked, I think, third mm-hmm. in offensive rating in the month of February. That has now come back to 10th in the last 15 games. So I think it's something to kind of keep an eye on. Like, yes, the parts are in place. Yes, they should be better next season. I thought coming into this year they had talent on the roster to be a playoff team. You look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, the teams fighting for 9, 8, and 7 are all around 500. That's where the Bulls should be in the mix. We heard Woj yesterday on ESPN.com. You played it as well. Say this.
Salary cap space this summer and perhaps the ability to go out and get a free agent point guard, bring another veteran or two into that team. It is not out of the realm that the Bulls will be challenging for a playoff spot in the East as soon as next year.
So while Woj is not wrong, they should be.
Should be.
But let's look at the numbers. Let's watch how this plays out. The numbers get a little funky towards the end of the NBA season. There are guys putting up some nice numbers. Zach LaVine has put up good numbers here of late.
Absolutely.
I would also question Lauri Markkanen and what's taking place in the month of March. Have you seen the splits from March to February?
Yeah, he's slumped.
Because, you know, there are a lot of experts talking about how Robin Lopez had to be on this team to help Lauri Markkanen. Lopez is here, right? Hey, guys, is Lopez on the team? Newsman Danny Zerriman is confirming from the newsroom. Danny, can you confirm that?
Guys, I do confirm that Lopez is on the squad.
Okay, right, thank you very much. Can we do an investigative report here on ESPN 1000? Let's figure out why Markkanen dropped from February, averaging 26 points per game, to now averaging 17 points per game in the month of March. Lopez is on the team, right? He was averaging 12 rebounds per in February, now 9 per in March on the team, right, Lopez?
Yes.
Shooting from three, the shooting stats are brutal for Markkanen here in the month. February, shooting 35% from three, now shooting 26% from three. From the field, shooting 48% from the field,
mm-hmm.
now 37% in the month of March.
Sure.
So Markkanen is not playing well here in this month. Lopez is here. We need to report on this, right?
Yes.
It was a big deal. We had to keep Robin Lopez. We don't trust the buyout process and all this nonsense.
I also think that Lopez said he wanted to stay here.
He did say
that, too. Apparently,
sure. He said that. What do you think his agent wanted him to do?
Lopez, apparently something is holding Lopez down.
Hmm. What do you think that is?
His
golden doodle?
I don't know.
He's got a floppy golden doodle.
I don't know how.
Have you seen him?
I don't know how.
I think it's named like Muppet or something.
I don't know how golden his doodle is, but I would imagine that.
See, I'm a dog person, so that's what I noticed with Robin Lopez.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yes, anyway.
No, I don't know how golden his doodle is, but I would say that he's staying here for a reason.
So it's not the dog.
Oh, I don't. It's something.
Okay.
It's something.
You're suggesting off the court.
I'm just thinking that he wants to stay here for a reason. I know one thing, that in a tanking season where you're going backwards as a franchise this season, there's no reason for him to be on the floor 32 minutes a game.
Well, right. And I get it. He is a better player and allows Lauri Markkanen to be a better player. But right now we are not seeing Lauri Markkanen be at his best,
yes.
Which is not good for a Bulls fan who wants to see them do what Adrian Wojnarowski suggests and make the playoffs next year, right? Shouldn't this be where we look at Markkanen heading towards the stretch run, saying, wow, that guy's going to be a star next season, not just a 17-10 guy?
He's just a guy. He's just a guy.
I think, Jonathan, if you take a look at the month stats from month to month, outside of last February, you see a lot of the 15, 17, 10 rebounds. That's what Lauri Markkanen is.
All right, let me put a bow on all this for you. Those numbers are good because it tells a great story about what's going on with this Bulls team. But let me put a bow on this package. And the bow is that the Bulls will not be able to be a better team or a perennial playoff team unless they have someone as a forward-thinking head coach. I think that the idea that you fire Fred Hoiberg, you want to do that because you had Fred fatigue. We all have Fred fatigue, so I understand. However, when you take a look at what's happening here with this team, you got to find someone that can get the job done, that can be able to get the most out of his players. It's not about motivation. It's about numbers, Okay, it's about, hey, I've got 3-point shooters on the floor. We got to be able to get the ball up so we can compete. If you're not going to get done defensively, you're going to have the other option is to be able to utilize a 3-point shot as much as possible. Of course, that's all based on personnel too. But if you have guys that can shoot the three, they should be doing that a lot more than rather than just passing the basketball.
I mean, when I looked up the stats, I was amazed at the fact that they're 27th in the league in attempts, but they shoot the 3-point shot well. For a team that we've complained about not shooting the ball well, they're shooting well. True shooting percentage, 13th. Top half of the NBA. 3-point percentage, you're 12th? You're almost top 10?
Okay, well,
that's pretty good in the last 15 games.
Okay, I'm an answer man. You have the facts, but I'm an answer man.
So I like that.
So how does that get better? Yeah, how does it get better is that when you have ownership, okay, when you have ownership and when you have Gar Forman and John Paxson saying that Jim Boylan's doing a good job, that means that they don't even understand that the team could be better and better coached. They don't even get that. Do you realize that Nate McMillan's doing more with less? Do you understand that what's happening in Brooklyn, where you do have players, you have quality players, but you put them in position to win?
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson, the head coach for Brooklyn.
You could do that, you know.
I mean, you have Brooklyn. You have you just gave me – who's the other team you just said?
I said Indiana.
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
No star on the roster, right?
Right.
But they're winning at a high level. And what the heck are the Clippers doing? Still in the playoff spot, right? They traded away their best player because they're saving cap space to go after free agents this summer. Oh, wait, but Doc's not letting them lose. They're still winning. They're putting guys in the right position.
Now, just keep in mind now, we're talking about talent because talent's number one in sports in general.
Sure.
But in the NBA, talent, coaching, scheme. Those three. Now, again, you think that coaching and scheme are the same. No, it's different. Because if you have a game plan, if you have a mission statement on what you want to do game to game to be able to win ball games, there is a scheme there that's got to be in place, but coaching as well. So there's, and by the way, just walk. I don't know if she thinks that she's coming in here, but I thought it was very interesting that Tony Preckwinkle gave a little wave here. And she kind of looked up at our sign here. Like I'm shaking my head. No, you're not coming in here. You're probably doing something for Channel 7.
Day two. She was here yesterday.
Tony Preckwinkle.
Well,
apparently giving her wants to come in and give her hoops thoughts.
If Preckwinkle comes in for hoops thoughts, then we have to call Lightfoot for some baseball combo, right?
We turn now to newsman Dan Zetterman with more. Dan, is there a possibility you could run out in the rain and pick it and get Tony Preckwinkle?
Gentlemen, as much as I would love to, and thanks for asking, we're up against the break.
I don't see what he did there. Yeah,
can you
book Lightfoot for MLB talk at some point today? Is that possible? We have to be fair and balanced.
She looked over and looked up at the. She's like, "Yo, you're not coming on, Preckwinkle, to talk anything." She thought she was coming in, like you can't come in here without Lightfoot next to you. So you can't do that. I don't know what she thinks she's doing, but you can't have both. You can't come in here and talk hoops with us. But I tell you one thing. If that was Bryce Harper out there, Danny would have been gone by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Harper! It's not every day a superstar walks by your window. Come on in! Come on in, my friend! I love you!
You're going to be a Cub in 2 years.
I love you!
This segment of Cap and Company is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Twin Peaks full-service bar features an extensive selection of drafts served at 29 degrees in ice-cold mugs. Head for Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Yeah, he would have gone and gotten Bryce Harper. He won't get Preckwinkle.
He's Bryce Harper.
No, we know. We're just joking. Nick Friedell next with Jonathan Hood and Chris Pluck in for Cap.
Newsman.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Oh, it's something every day. It's like, my grandmother, when I was younger, she had this show she used to watch. I'm sure y'all heard of it, As the World Turns. You know, I used to watch it with her, and, you know, every episode, it was something. That's what this has turned into, As the World Turns. There's something about you.
It's such an NBA thing, Jonathan, to act like the media coverage around you is just creating stories just because the media doesn't have anything better to do except for their job. So you're coming up with stories. I think NBA media covers the NBA players based on what they see and what they hear behind the scenes is taking place. That's what's going on.
Can I tell you something, Chris? If it wasn't for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, this would be a total unlikable team for many people. Yeah. I mean, it's enough that they win a lot of championships and, you know, they're very popular. They really are Beyonce and Jay-Z. I mean, they are of the NBA because they fill arenas and people are interested in them, home and road. My God, though. I mean, between Durant and Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins, my goodness, they love to talk. They love to complain. And like, yes, you are the Warriors. You're going to get a lot of questions. I mean, that is kind of part and parcel of being a champion, right?
Yeah, you chose to be there, right? You wanted to be a part of this rock show. You wanted to be a part of it. You wanted to reimage yourself, your brand, DeMarcus Cousins. So you're a part of it. That's why the conversation takes place. They are the rock stars of sports right now, the Golden State Warriors.
Let's talk to a rock star right now.
Who do we have on the phone? Oh, Nick, I got you. Yeah.
Is he there?
Nick Friedell, ESPN NBA reporter covering the Warriors this season. You can follow him at Nick Friedell and our friend Nick. It's Chris and Jonathan. What's going on, man?
My friends, how we doing?
You're a star. Steph Curry was pretty fired up after the win over the Rockets the other night, 106-104. Was that in the context of a season like this for the Warriors and everything going on in the future for them and all the drama, was that a statement win for the Warriors?
Chris, they wanted it, which is to say that a lot of these regular season games, they're kind of like, okay, you know, you win, you lose. We'll hit the button in a few weeks once the playoffs start. But for sure, those guys wanted that win because it would shut everybody up for a little while. And to what you were saying just now, the reality for the Warriors is they're still so confident in themselves. Even when they've lost, it's kind of like, all right, well, we'll win when the games matter the most. But they're so tired of answering the same questions throughout this year on, is everything kind of starting to break apart? Is this team not what it once was? That when you win a game like that in Houston without Kevin Durant, yeah, it makes you feel really good. So for all the ups and downs they've had, especially in the last few weeks and losing to Phoenix and Boston, for them to go into that spot and play that way, that was as happy as I've seen this group in a while.
Nick, there was a statement made by Gail Miller, the owner of the Utah Jazz. She got to center court and she took the microphone and spoke to the arena and said that, quote, we're not a racist community. Through your time covering the NBA, talking to players or media, have you heard question marks about the fans in Salt Lake? Again, we've seen the incidents ourselves, but is this something that you think is common around the Utah Jazz from what you've been able to hear from some of their fans?
Yes. Yes. When you talk to players and you talk to coaches, they shake their heads sometimes at what is said in those Salt Lake crowds. I've also talked to players, on the flip side of this, white players, black players, who say they love playing in Utah. So I understand and see both sides of where they're coming from here. But in reference to the Russ incident and to incidents in the past, yes, when you talk to players and coaches and staff members from these different teams, they'll tell you Utah is a strange place to play and can be a racist place to play at times. I mean, that's not to say that every fan in Utah it feels that way, of course, but it is to say that over the course of an NBA schedule, when you're asking all these different people, where are there the most problems? Where is security most concerned about what is said or what is being done in the crowd? Salt Lake City pops up plenty of times over the years.
Recently, Trae Young has played really well, Nick. Last night, we saw Luka Doncic play excellent, and he's kind of tailed off the last couple of games, but he still has the points per game. Who would you give Rookie of the Year to at this point?
I would give it to Luka. I mean, Chris, what he's been able to do in the entirety of the season has been pretty awesome. And I know he comes in from a professional background from Europe, it's all well and good, but when you're producing like he has been throughout the course of much of the season in this league, and you've done it with more consistency, that's where I would turn. I mean, I give Trae Young a ton of credit because a lot of people, myself included, were looking at that first half of his season going, really? I mean, really? Is this the guy that you want to build around? And he has silenced a lot of those doubts with his play the last month or so. But in totality, Luka Doncic has been the guy that the Mavericks and a lot of people in the league thought he would be, and I think he's going to end up winning that award.
Nick, here's a good barbershop topic, and I've talked about this on NBA radio. I want to get your thoughts about this as well, regarding James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And when you look at both of these guys, and I just saw the Rockets fall short against the Warriors the other night, and again, it's close, but once again, Chris Paul or not, it's just the Rockets are just not as good as the Warriors. I think that's very clear. But when you look at the careers of Russell Westbrook and James Harden, which one do you feel is going to win a championship first for their team?
Hoodie, honestly, I don't think either one is going to win a title. I really don't. With the way they play, and I mean, I've watched both now for a lot of years, and they both do good things within their own game. But I don't think either guy, with the way they play, unless their style changes dramatically, is going to be the focal point of a title team. I mean, James Harden, watching him in person, and certainly I've seen him more this year than in years past because Golden State plays him more, is he just kind of takes the ball and dribbles around. And then he looks to shoot it as the shot clock is running down, or make a move. And there's brilliance in his offensive game. You and I have been having this conversation for a while, but it's not a particular brand that I think is exciting to a lot of fans. All that aside, both of these guys have a history that will send them to the Hall of Fame eventually. But they also have a history of being on teams historically that just have not been good enough, and they need another number one guy and probably several number one guys around them to ultimately get to that title level. So, I don't think either guy is going to make it, but having watched both closer, I think Russ is at a stage already where he knows he has got to share more of the spotlight, and with the way Paul George has played this year, you've already started to see that. So I guess my answer, if it was between only those two and I had to make a choice, would be Russ. I just don't see either guy getting to that mountaintop at some point in their career.
Okay, so having said that, if you don't believe that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are championship material, or the two guys that can get to a championship, then we got to identify who the next guy is. Like, you know, the Warriors are not going to win forever. This is why you rent and not buy in Oakland. So because next time there's going to be a dynasty, you're going to be moving there. So you got to figure out, like, are you coming back to the Midwest to cover Giannis? Are you gonna go to Boston or Philadelphia?
You still own in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I'm still an owner in Chicago.
Okay, well, although what?
They need Zion in a bad way.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
bad way. They need Zion.
Well, then what's next then? We got to be able to look in the future. Like, we know what the present is. We know what the next few years very well could be for Golden State. So if it's not Russ and if it's not James Harden, then who is it?
Yeah, Hoodie, I mean, ring the bell, because that's a damn good question that you should run out on every platform there is. But
yes,
there's always a team that comes out of nowhere, always. So
what is that?
If we're seeing what we see right now, I'm still not buying Milwaukee as a title team. I think this is their best chance this year. But once you start breaking down the economics of that team, and you've got to re-sign Chris Middleton, you've got to obviously try to give Giannis a max, I'm not sure what else they're going to be able to add that takes them from the level they're at the moment and puts them to a different place. The team, to me, if we were betting on futures here, for different groups would still be Boston. And I, you know, you've heard me say this all throughout the year, but Boston has not only the young, talented pieces, but they've got a GM in Danny Ainge who historically has made a variety of moves that has made his team better and sets himself up for and his team for the future. So, who's next after this? I tell you, having been around Golden State every day this year, as great as they have been. We're going to see what happens with Kevin, but they're mentally exhausted right now. You know, they're losing these games. They lost to Phoenix the other night. That game was terrible.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
At home.
And they lose at home to Phoenix. Guys were walking in the locker room just kind of shaking their heads like, what? So I'm not saying that Golden State's run is going to end because I think – being in the Chase Center in San Francisco next year is going to reinvigorate them. Whether Kevin stays or goes, either you have Kevin Durant in a new building with that same core, or Kevin leaves, and then you have a group that wants to prove that it can win again without Kevin Durant. So I say that knowing that the mental fatigue and the physical fatigue of potentially going to five straight finals, it's really starting to show more, I think, than it has in years past. And that's why Steve Kerr has always said that it is so difficult to win a title, and now they're trying to win four of five. So, Hoodie, all that in the rear view, looking behind what's happening, I would say Boston, to me, right now, has the best chance not only in the present but in the next few years to take another step.
Chris Black, Jonathan Hood, talking with Nick Friedell here on ESPN 1000. We'll let you get off on this question,
what?
Nick, before... Get off the phone, Jonathan. Nick, if you take a look at Kevin Durant and what you said...
Yeah.
Can I...
Go ahead. No one's interrupting you. Please.
Nick, Nick's trying not to laugh right now. Nick, based on what you said with Kevin Durant, when he leaves this summer, the one thing no one ever talks about is the fact that then the Warriors will have some cap space. That's something that people never bring up with. If he leaves, oh, this will all be over. Well, the Warriors will then have cap space because Durant is not re-signing with them. They'll have a whole bunch of change that they can throw at somebody and also Klay Thompson to keep everything going. The one last thing I want to ask you, Nick, is this. How happy are people in the Bay Area that the Lakers are so dysfunctional this year?
They're beaming. And I don't think it's just the Bay Area, Chris. I think there are fans all over the place that are ecstatic that the Lakers have imploded because there was so much hype surrounding this team and there was such a feeling around Lakers fans, around the Lakers organization, that this was the team that was going to challenge Golden State. And not only has that not happened, I mean, to not make the playoffs with LeBron James is so damning on the front office, Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson. It's damning on LeBron. I understand why he hasn't gotten more criticism because it deals with access and people needing to get information down the line. But I'm shocked that LeBron hasn't gotten crushed more. You go to Los Angeles and you don't make the playoffs. That is, I don't care who's around you. The West is not nearly what it was the last couple of years, especially the back end of the West. And the Lakers can't even squeeze in there. So, yeah, the Bay Area is happy because they've always felt like kind of the stepchild in that back and forth with L.A. and the Bay, and now they're on top. And not only that, but, guys, the broader question for the Lakers is who ends up there this summer? I mean, I've always felt like Jimmy Butler would love to be in L.A., and we've all followed him very closely since he came in the league, but even if Jimmy goes to the Lakers, if Jimmy goes to the Lakers and he's with LeBron, are they better? Certainly they're better, but does anybody believe that's a title team? No. Like, the Lakers here are in big trouble. Because I'm not sure who the second person is who's going to land there. They tried to make Anthony Davis happen, and it didn't work. And on top of that, even if you got a second person, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, would he help them? Sure, he would help them. Are they that much closer to a title? No. So the Lakers, I don't think people understand just not only how bad this year is, but how bad the next couple of years could be unless they make something really interesting happen this summer. And I just don't see it because I don't think a lot of guys really want to play with LeBron.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it.
You got it. See you guys.
I probably should have said let him go on the phone, right? That's Nick Friedell, NBA reporter covering the Warriors. Yeah. At Nick Friedell, you can follow him. I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood. I mean,
yes, but you didn't say that.
I didn't, but you got what I was saying.
I don't think we did. Right, let's put that up. Newsman, let's put that on the poll.
I don't think that we can put that on the poll.
We actually can't. Actually, this is not up to you. I'm just
letting that's you know. It. I don't think that's going to get passed.
Yes.
The newsman probably will not put that on the poll.
I bet you he
put
will.
Put that on the poll. Will he put that on the poll?
How about this? You will put on the poll. Watch this. I'm going to do it right now.
All right. Sportsbook, by the way, has the Warriors favorites to win the championship because you mentioned it. They're 1-2. The Bucks are second, 15-2. Mitch Trubisky. Getting some love on a game show. We'll tell you what game show and what was said. Coming up next, right here on ESPN 1000, I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood. Sing in for David Kaplan today on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. It's not going to go on the poll.
Coming up at noon, it's Carmen and Yurko. We're wrapping the week, still talking Bears and NFL free agency. What a crazy week it's been. We'll give you the very latest as the Bears continue to try to make tweaks for 2019. Huge betting weekend with all the conference tournaments underway. Selection Sunday around the corner. Mike North gives us his thoughts on the best plays for the weekend. Also, we'll check in with the Cubs and the White Sox in Arizona. The Bulls are taking on the Red Hot Clippers tonight on the West Coast. And also the Blackhawks in Montreal for an Original Six matchup tomorrow. Join us at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We'll join Carmen and Yurko at noon, like Carmen just said right there. Jonathan, Crosstalk at noon right here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood, singing for David Kaplan today. Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you want to tweet us, you can at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios right here on State Street in downtown Chicago.
My Snapchat also is cooking as well.
Is it?
And at Snapchat.
Some fresh snaps?
At Snap J Hood.
You know what it meant.
No, and that is the poll question, by the way, at ESPN 1000. Yes. Did you know what Bleck meant, yes or no, in our last segment?
We'll answer that later on in the show. So yesterday, I'm a big Price is Right fan. Is that your favorite game show?
No, it's not my favorite game
show. It's my favorite game show.
No, it's not.
It's the best game show.
I guess it's not because I'm not 70.
Well, I mean, 70 or sick at home. Right? Like, isn't that the show you watch when you stay home from school?
No.
When you stay home from work?
No.
You don't flip it on?
No, I don't flip it on. I don't flip on Price is Right. I work at night. You think I'm more sitting around during the daytime watching Price is Right?
You got the time.
No, and I got the beer.
So how about this? Yesterday, Mitch Trubisky was mentioned on the Price is Right. Let's listen in.
Let's add my fiance, Hillary. My buddy Matt from law school came and joined me. And Mitchell Trubisky, my buddy.
Hi, everybody. You're going to start out with a 20. One more spin. Good luck.
Ethan had one more spin at the Price is Right, and he shouted out Mitch Trubisky, his buddy.
Do you think Drew Carey knows who Mitch Trubisky is? He didn't react to that at all, by the way.
Probably not.
I think he just thought he was just some dude.
Some name. And Jonathan, I'd like to thank Jonathan Hood, my buddy.
My buddy Mitch Trubisky. All right. That's $25.
Let's add my fiance, Hillary. My buddy Matt from law school came and joined me. And Mitchell Trubisky, my buddy.
Hi, everybody.
All right.
You're going to start out with a 20. One more spin. Good luck.
I don't think he does.
Who got spin again.
How do you not know, newsman? How does Drew Carey not know who Mitch Trubisky is? How does this happen?
I believe he does know who Mitch Trubisky is, Jonathan, but he's a Browns fan, I believe, and he's pro Baker Mayfield.
Oh, so he's a hater. He's a hater on Trubisky. He's Mayfield and not Trubisky. Interesting. A hater.
That's not good. He should be able to know the NFL, know who Trubisky is. Isn't Trubisky from Ohio somewhere?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so is Drew Carey. He's from Cleveland, so yeah.
This segment's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the card that you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
And this, by the way, we got a lot of people walking by because of the Big Ten tournament from all over the city.
Oh, yeah.
Checking out ESPN with that. They're looking up in the sky, and I point to there and goes, yes, we're actually on ESPN Chicago right now.
Northwestern fans?
No.
Oh, they're out.
They're
you
out.
You talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, they're okay. out.
All right.
Big
Ten tournament, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
they stink, yeah.
Okay. If you were to, coming up next, if you were to have a NFL power rankings today, where would you slot the Chicago Bears? We'll talk about that. Coming up next, it's Chris Block and Jonathan Hood in for Cap right here on ESPN 1000.
Good question.